Well, hey, everybody. As you can tell, this is our student takeover weekend. And man, we have students that are capable of serving the Lord Jesus in a myriad of ways. And man, they're leading us in worship. They're serving. They're setting example. You know, Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but set an example in word and deed and action and life. And man, our students are doing that. And I'm so proud of them. And I know you are too. But part of the reason they're so strong is they've been taught so well. And part of the reason they've been taught so well is because of our communicator today. His name is Randall Tanini. Now, Randall has been on our staff for 8 years. He's held 3 different jobs here. He's worked with middle school students. He's been a high school discipleship pastor. Now he oversees all of our student ministries. Randall is a remarkable pastor. He's done a great job here at our church. He's got a beautiful wife and 3 beautiful kids, a great family, a great example for our students. And Randall is going to come and bring the Word of God for you today. So let's give a warm Savannah Christian welcome to our friend, Randall Tanini.
Tonight, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And this past summer, we had multiple students who came to camp. There were around 600 students, over 700 people came. And many of you gave scholarships to help those students get to camp. I want to thank you personally. From our hearts, we are thankful for what God did in their life that week. As was said earlier, there were over 40 baptisms, and we're just praising God for that. But the theme of camp was based off of Hebrews chapter 11. And in that text, what we see are people who were remade by God through faith. Tonight, as we look at that text, we can think faith. And as you look up on this stage tonight, these are students who are unashamed of their faith in Jesus Christ. They've been made strong by God. And tonight, I am just overwhelmed by what I saw up here. And what I've seen again and again in our students' lives, if they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, before we start, we need to pray. So let's pray. Father God, I'm accountable to you for what I say from your word. I pray that Jesus is lifted up and that he's the center of this. And as we saw lives that were changed tonight, God, we know it was through your grace and through your mercy and through what you've done that they've been changed. So we come to you now, asking that you open this book up to us and you help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews paints this picture of heroes of the faith. And the way that he paints the picture of the heroes of the faith is that they are all running in this marathon, headed towards the finish line. And in this race, we find ourselves right in the middle. A few years ago, I ran a race. I remember at the beginning of the year, I made this promise. I said, I'm going to run a marathon. I remember people laughing. Didn't make the marathon, but I did make a 5K. So as I was preparing for this 5K the day before, I get all my gear ready. I head downtown, and there's just people everywhere. And I remember as the race started, we start running, I'm passing by some people, I'm feeling pretty good, and then as we started to get a little bit further, people started to pass me, and my mind wanted to go faster, but my body was telling me no. And I remember passing the finish line, trying to catch my breath. I look at my time, it's about 23 minutes. I thought to myself, well, that's pretty good. Didn't really train too much. Looking as people are coming in, 27, 28, getting a little puffed up, a little prideful, you know, thinking I'm pretty good. So I get to the square, and I'm catching my breath, and I remember seeing one of the students from the ministry. And I said, hey, man, how's it going? And you know how that situation starts out. There's only really one question that you're wondering. What's your time? And so this student comes up to me. We talk a little bit, but we get to the question, what was your time? And I ask him, I said, well, what was your time? He said, around 17 minutes. Well, Randall, what was your time? It was around 20 minutes plus 3 minutes and some change. 17 minutes is a great time. But my pride was shot down real quickly. And especially to the fact that he was a middle school student. But many of us are running this spiritual race as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 11. And this is going to hurt. But some of us are being passed up by middle school and high school students in our faith. And today, as we open up this text, we need to know this one thing. We are all running a race. We are all running a race. And many of us can make the excuse and say, well, when you look at the Bible, those people were different than us. Of course they ran a great race. They're in the Bible. But here's what the Bible says. James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. The reason that James says this is because he doesn't want us to come away with the excuse that, no, they were just in the Bible. They were just like us. See, many of us have grown to believe that while we're running this race, greatness, to run a great race, well, it's just something inherent. You know, some people have it, some people don't. Or we'll say, well, it's age. They're just a little further along. They're a little more mature. Or some of us believe that maybe I just earn it. Maybe I just work hard enough and I can run a great race. But what we see from the Bible is the Bible says that it is through faith. The heroes of the Bible were not, they weren't inherently great. I want you to hear me tonight on that. They were not inherently great. They were made great through faith. And so tonight, if you are struggling in your walk, I want to bring you some encouragement. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read through a lot of scripture tonight. And one of the things that we do in the student ministry is we don't water down the gospel. But we say, bring your Bible, open it up. We have to be opening up the word. And so tonight, if you've got your Bible, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 32. We're going to go down all the way to 40. But here's what it says. The Hebrew writer, and we don't know who this is, but here's what he says. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins and sheep of goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What does it look like to be remade by God? What you'll see in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40, is three ways in which we are remade by God. And the first way, you can find it in verse 32, but it's this: we are remade in weakness. We are remade in weakness. Here's what verse 32 says. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. But as we go down to verse 34, it says, we're made strong out of weakness. The Greek word for weakness here means a frailty of body or a bent or proneness to sin. As we dig a little bit deeper into the lives of all of these people, there were six named here. Four of them were judges. Then we see David, who was king, and Samuel, who was a prophet. And so it kind of covers everyone that would have been in leadership at that time in those positions. But what we see from Gideon is this. The life of Gideon shows that he was from a no-name clan, weak among his people. And what we see from his story is that he doubted God. What we see from the life of Barak is that Barak was timid. What we see from Samson is that Samson was prideful and filled with lust. Well, Jephthah, he was an outcast. He came from a broken family. He was a criminal. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Samuel showed favoritism and he was a bad parent. As we look through the lives of these people who are named, all of us should be able to relate. It starts with weakness. But many of us do not want to start with weakness because we're told we need to cover that up. We need to be strong enough. We need to be good enough. But what the Bible says is that it's through weakness. George Guthrie says of this text, the author's whole program is to call struggling, sometimes bumbling Christians to live boldly by faith. See, they all had a sin nature, and so do we. But God overcomes our sin through his grace. Through his grace. You see, earlier in the book of Hebrews, we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, really the answer and the solution to how they got to where they are. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. That same word, weaknesses, is the one used in chapter 11. There's a connection. See, when he talks about the high priest, what he's talking about is Jesus. And as Jesus looks on us, it says that he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. There is one who has gone through the temptations and the trials and faced the things and the frailties that we have, but he has gone through it all without sin. And then it gives us the answer to our weakness. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, what the word for weakness is the bent towards sin. But what we see the word grace is charis. And what it is a bent that God has towards us with kindness, love, mercy, favor. We're bent towards sin. God is bent towards us in kindness and love. We are remade through weakness. The second way that we see from this text that we are remade is through faith. You can find it in verse 33. Here's what verse 33 says. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. It's a pretty impressive list, right? Some things that we would think, man, that's something that I would like to do. But what we see is that it wasn't through strength, but what it was through was faith. We get a lot of definitions for faith, but a working definition to help us out to understand just a little bit better about faith is this. Faith is the extent to which we trust in God's faithfulness. See, many of us think of faith like this. How much faith can I muster up within myself? But what we see is faith is based not on me, but is based on God. God is at the center. God is at the head. And so what we do is we look at God and we look at his faithfulness, and that's where our faith is built. I think of my daughter recently. She's 2, and she has started to love going to the pool. She wants to go every day. Daddy pool. Daddy pool. And so we have started to go to the pool a lot. And what she sees is her 4-year-old brother who is jumping into the pool doing cannonballs so he can splash us. And as he's doing that, she's thinking to herself, how do I do that? How do I get there? You see, her brother didn't start out there, but he was very timid and jumping in. But there was a day where she went up to the ledge and she's getting ready and she's trying to muster up in herself enough courage to jump off. And she was frozen. And so I looked over, I saw her over there. I knew what she was trying to do. And so I went over to her and I held out my hands. I'm just looking at her. She's kind of looking at me. And in that moment, as she looked into my eyes and I looked into hers and I said, it's okay. You can jump. I'm going to catch you. I don't know what was going on in her 2-year-old mind, but what I can picture that was going on in her 2-year-old mind was this, that daddy has thrown me up in the air before and he's caught me. He hasn't dropped me. He's caught me. And so as she's looking at me and I'm looking at her, she jumps. And what I am saying is this, that her faith was not based on how much courage she had within herself, but her faith was based on how much she trusted in her father. And so tonight, as we look at faith and what that means, we don't start out with strong faith. You have to understand that. We don't start out with strong faith, but God in his grace builds our faith. As God is lovingly bent toward us in his grace, what we see is that our faith gets stronger. But it's more about trust, trusting the Father. Here's the thing. All through Scripture, we see that God is faithful to unfaithful people. God's faithful to unfaithful people. And in the Old Testament, there were many crises of faith. Many crises of faith. But what we see, and this is something that is one of those biblical things that is so helpful once I really understood this. But what we see in the Old Testament are these visitations that happen to some of the people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. And the visitations were done by one called the Angel of the Lord. Now, the Angel of the Lord came to Old Testament heroes, particularly to build faith. They were struggling in those moments where the angel of the Lord comes. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord comes to build their faith. In biblical history, we see Abraham in Genesis 22, 11 through 18, as he's about to sacrifice Isaac, the angel of the Lord is there. We see in Exodus 3, 2, Moses, as he's being called, the angel of the Lord is there. Gideon, as he is being called in Judges 6:11, the angel of the Lord is there. Elijah, as he is depressed and feeling like he is so depressed that he wants to give up. 1 Kings 19:7, the angel of the Lord is there. David, 1 Chronicles 21:16, and more. Receive visitations from the angel of the Lord. We don't see strong people mustering up more strength. But what we see is a God who is coming in grace, sending the angel of the Lord to bring encouragement and faith. The result for them and for others is faith. We see Gideon, through faith, become a mighty warrior. We see Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, through faith, fight off foreign armies. We see David, through faith, become a king. We see Samuel, through faith, become a great prophet. We need to remember today that God calls us in faith, with all our habits, hang-ups, and worries, to trust. If I were to talk about my weaknesses, one of the biggest ones is the anxiety that I face, sometimes so much so that I feel like I'm paralyzed by it. But it is through faith that God has called a wretch like me. It's through faith. See, it's through faith that Kaylee and Ashley and Cody went on a mission trip when they were in middle school. See, it was through faith that Sammy and Heath started a Bible study in their public school cafeteria. And they saw people come to faith in Christ. See, it's through faith that we see a girl who's doubting God find out who he really is and trust and put her faith in him. It's through faith. The third way that we see what it looks like to be remade is that we are remade by Jesus. Verses 39 through 40, here's what it says. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In this text, the writer of Hebrews gives us the struggle that Old Testament people faced. It's the struggle that many of us feel sometimes. God, are you coming through on the promise? I feel like I was called to something. I feel like I was made for something, but I don't feel like it's coming. See, many of the Old Testament figures, they struggled with a promise that didn't come. And what the Hebrew writer does here is he does that on purpose, because he leaves us with this cliffhanger. And we got to ask ourselves, well, what comes next? Then he takes us to Hebrews chapter 12, to the climax of the passage, to the answer to our tension. Here's what he says. Therefore, whenever there's a therefore, you always ask what the therefore is there for. It's what just happened in Hebrews chapter 11. That's why it's there. He points us to this. He says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people have gone before us. All these people have gone through the race. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The struggle, the tension, the waiting for the promise, it was all found in Jesus. What they were looking for and what we currently have is Jesus. The promise
is fulfilled in Jesus.
And so as we look at that and what it looks like to be remade, as we look to the fact that we are remade by Jesus, well, what's the application for that? What does that look like? Well, I've got four ways that we can look at that tonight. The first one is this. It's your turn to run. It's your turn to run. As we look at Hebrews 12, this is an application passage. And what he's doing here is he's saying, all of these people have gone before. All of them have finished the race. You're still in the middle of the race. Your turn to run. How are we running? See, because some of us today, we're in a full-on sprint by the grace of God. But some of us tonight are backing up a little bit and we're not going forward. Some of us are going sideways. Some of us are walking. And so tonight, as you look at your life and you ask God and you say, God, give me grace to understand where I'm at. What are we looking like? Because we're in the middle of that race right now. He said, as you race, the second application is this. Throw off morally neutral and sinful things. What he says is every weight and sin which clings so closely. There are some morally neutral things that are not bad. But what it's doing is it's taking our attention away from Jesus. And we can make excuses about it too. We can say, well, everybody else is doing it. It's not that bad. I can't find any scriptures to back this up of why it's bad, and so I don't really want to give it up. And so some of us are running with a backpack on, full of stuff that doesn't matter. And it's holding us back because it's bringing down our time. And we're making excuses for it. See, what it becomes sometimes is like the freshman who's running around the high school and they just got, you know, into high school. It's their first time in high school. And what they're doing is they're running around because they don't know where their locker is. They're breaking their back trying to run around to class, to class, to class because they don't know where their locker is and they can't put their books in the locker. Many of us look like that spiritually, running around, carrying some things, because here's the deal. Some of us right now, we're putting the dogs and in what kind of season they're going to have over Jesus. And what I want to say tonight is for us to repent. If we want to live a life of faith, then it's going to take some decisions to say, I don't need that in my life. Or I don't need that as much in my life. It's morally neutral. But there are some other things. Some things that we can say, that's just flat out sin that I just keep holding on to again and again and again. And what I want to say is, as we turn from that and as we repent, you can't get rid of it. But Jesus can. He already took it on the cross. Just like we can't save ourselves, we cannot change ourselves. And so tonight, don't hear me when I say we need to throw off sin and you start going on this hunt to say, I'm going to go kill all the sin in my life. But what we see in Romans chapter 8 is that the Holy Spirit of God kills sin in our life. And we repent and we say, God, forgive me. I grieve over this sin. God, take this from me. And we know that every day as we wake up, Jesus is there, because that's the next point. Jesus is the only real hero. Jesus is the only real hero. You see what the passage points to? He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. This word author is the word archegos. As we look at Jesus and the way it describes Jesus, this the founder, archegos, the forerunner, what we see is this. As you translate that word, there's two ways you can take it. Guys, here's what it translates, and I know this will connect with you. Jesus is the military leader. I want you to get in your mind right now, Braveheart. Some of us get inspired. We got to watch Braveheart every year just to get a little inspired about life and just say, I'm going to keep going. Get the war paint on, all that stuff. It's inspiring to us. But what we see in this picture is he's painting the picture of who Jesus is. He's saying Jesus is the military leader who's the one who jumps in the fray, who goes before us,
who isn't sitting back but says, I'm going to take the lead. Let's go to war. But another way you can translate this for the ladies, I think this will connect with you well, but this can also be translated as prince. See, some of you are looking for a Prince Charming. Some of you are asking God, when are you going to send this person to me? But I want you to know that he's found in the promise of Jesus Christ. You're waiting for your Prince Charming. Look to Jesus. He can answer all your questions, and he can be for you what no other man can be. Jesus is the real hero. And last is that faith, real faith, suffers and overcomes through Jesus. Some of the scariest parts of the scripture tell us how life ended for a lot of the heroes of our faith. And it's pretty gruesome. I don't know my story. But one thing I do know, and that it says all through scripture, is that if you are a person of faith, if you truly believe in Jesus and you trust him, that there will be suffering. I can't get up here today and start saying, well, you know, it's going to be better. I don't know that for you. I don't know the struggles that you're going through. Today, I went to the hospital and I prayed with my friend. They just had their baby and the baby is struggling. I cannot make promises that the scriptures do not say are going to be promises. We know that there will be suffering in this life. But one thing that we do see promised is this, that one who trusts in Jesus will overcome. They will overcome through him, not through strength, not through power, not being good enough. But we will overcome through him. Timothy Keller says, it is not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. The object of your faith. Is it in him? Many biblical scholars, as they study the New Testament, look at the angel of the Lord, and they think, who is this angel of the Lord? What we see is that the angel of the Lord receives worship. That people sacrifice the angel of the Lord. That the angel of the Lord says from the bush, I am. Biblical scholars believe that the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And I believe it's true. As I've studied, as I've researched, as I've looked at all of the places the angel of the Lord, I believe it's true. And if that's true, then in Genesis 22, as Jesus called out to Abraham and said, stop, 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 and pointed to the ram, Jesus stopped Abraham as he was about to sacrifice his only one and only son. Why? Because he was the one and only son who would be sacrificed in place of Isaac. As we look at the life of Moses, and Moses says, I'm really not strong enough. I can't lead the people through there. I really can't speak well. What we see is Jesus call out from the bush and say, I am who I am. And what we see, it says this in Jude 1:5, that Jesus led a people out of Egypt. He was the leader. What we see in Isaiah chapter 6, as Isaiah falls on the ground and he's worshiping and he's saying, what do I do with my life? And God says, go. And he says, here I am, send me. What we see in John 12:41 is that it says that it was Jesus who Isaiah saw and prophesied about. We saw that it's Jesus who came in the flesh and died for my sins and took my place and exchanged his life for my life. There was a time when I was in church and the offering plate was being passed and then the communion plate was being passed and I was grabbing the communion and I was trying to hold the communion in one hand with the cracker and I spilt the whole thing over me. The whole communion tray just... It was in the middle of church. Some people looked over and were like, oh, I can't believe he did that. I looked down. I'm covered in juice, crackers. And all I could do was get up and walk out. In my weakness, in my embarrassment, in my shame, the blood of Jesus covers me. The heroes of the Bible weren't inherently great. They were made great through faith in Jesus. Tonight, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling like you can't do it, if you're feeling like you need a Savior, it's not in spite of weakness, it's because of weakness that Christ meets us right where we're at. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it is that you're calling us to do. Father, there are students who I know believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ and what he's done. I know that there are people here tonight who believe that. I pray that the believers, the saints that are here tonight are encouraged as they see the face of Jesus throughout Scripture. They see the faithfulness of God throughout their life. I pray that if there is anyone here tonight who does not know the love of Jesus Christ or is being broken by the Spirit tonight, that they will receive him and know that he is Lord and King. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.